everybody. Welcome back to the Jesse Nyberg podcast. If it's your first time here, welcome. And if you're returning, appreciate all the support. Today I have on a really cool guest. He's my friend and photographer and director, Edson, someone I met over here in Los Angeles. And he really fits the kind of mold of like someone that's a little bit different, but also still like a really strong creative. And he's does some badass film photography and video and things like that. So to get started, one thing I always wanted to kind of just ask you a little bit, kind of your backstory and how you got into directing and video and things, and also like what made you even want to do that in the first place?
Yeah. Well, like for me, when I kind of, I never really thought that filmmaking was like a path. For me, I never really thought of it as something that I'd pursue in my adult life. And it was introduced to me very early on as a kid. I was always very intrigued by camera. Mm-hmm. My mom always, we'd always go down to like the film developing center right before going grocery shopping. So she'd also play back like a lot of VHS stuff. And it wasn't until like freshman year where I went to like a film festival, where I saw like all these music videos and short films and little short mockumentaries that students made. And it was something that really caught my attention. So senior year, I ended up taking the film class. And from there, it was always just film program after film program. And then sort of like started going into internships and just kind of meeting other filmmakers, and that sort of just helped me build like my community and sort of a network for work and collaborating on projects. And it sort of just like mended into my life like very naturally, and I'm pretty happy that it did one way or another.
Right. And you didn't go to school or anything, right? Like post high school, you just kind of built your own thing over here in LA?
After high school, I went to UC Merced. It was like my freshman year.
Only for a little bit.
Yeah, so I went up there to study I went there freshman year to study sociology. And I was always kind of like interested in like the social aspect of just life and different cultures, and always thought that would be a good tool to have when I'd go into like making any documentary films or any period piece. It kind of like allowed me to figure out how characters would interact with each other. So that was something that really caught my attention when I was applying for school senior year. And but eventually I kind of came back after the freshman year and was like, well, I think I should just really just dive into film and really practice that craft.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's when I was here and sort of started building that network back here in LA.
Yeah, it seems, I don't think, I'm not always an advocate for, oh, school sucks or you shouldn't go to school, but it seems like almost in your scenario that if you were to have stayed there and continued to like focus only on the social work or like sociology stuff, it may have hindered like some of the advancement you had like within like the community over here and like getting connections and stuff. I think it was actually like the right move, you know, for your situation and everything.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. Especially because in Merced, it was a very STEM related program that was kind of like what they were known for, and it was very difficult to find other creatives that were really focused on film or photography. And
yeah,
if they were, it was more like just kind of cool stuff like drone stuff or
like tech,
just some like
more.
Yeah
you're so like, coming you're back a lot more like it makes sense that you would have went to school for sociology and kind of just studying humans, because a lot of your work I feel like is really big on culture and candid moments and capturing like small pockets of like just different societies out here in Los Angeles. And I was wondering what kind of drawed you towards that style of like stuff that you've been doing here and in Mexico, and kind of, did you always want to do that specific type of kind of documentary or like life documentation?
In parts, yes, and in parts, no. Going into filmmaking, I kind of had like this idea that films had to be a bit epic, and there was always something that had to happen, and there'd always have to be like some sort of character change, and just this sort of like feeling of satisfaction at the end of the film. But the more I dove into learning about like societies and cultures and watching other films that sort of explored this notion of just a moment in life, that sort of steered me away from sort of like the cliche like storytelling. And so I looked to like other photographers, like one specifically, like Alex Webb and Norris Webb, and they're a couple, and they both have like different styles of photography, where Norris is a bit like more abstract and Alex is a bit more like straight on. And it's very poetic in the sense that their way of compositioning these shots are very like, it's just very like in there with the framing, and something as simple as like a wipe on a foggy windshield is something that feels poetic. So I think looking at their work and sort of taking on what I know and what I feel needs to be told, that sort of started influencing, like, we need to tell more stories about people of our community and people from back home that essentially don't really get told, even in kind of like this, I don't know, just like this Mexican film industry, or not Mexican film industry, but there like a lot of the sort of directors are kind of like, there are Mexican films, but some of them don't really represent sort of like the people that are in my family.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, yeah.
I think I remember Vince telling me kind of about a lot of the Mexican directors in that culture. Yes, they are representing like that culture and ethnicity for like trans, like to show like the world like there are Mexican directors, but there, a lot of them are like a lot more upper class, so they're not really capturing like the everyday kind of like slice of life of like a traditional like small family that would be in that area.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes like often like find myself looking to other sort of filmmakers, not necessarily Mexican, but just like Japanese filmmakers who are sort of in that niche of telling these slices of life. Yeah. And that also draws a lot of inspiration, because now it's like they kind of hone into these small cultures and these small moments. And that's something that I find a lot of sort of just a lot of inspiration through that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I feel like there's a lot of kind of unsung heroes and just like super interesting things that you can find in everyday life that a lot of times is overlooked on, because it's all about getting something that what's happening now, what's cool, what's trending, how can we make this like as viral as possible or something, or capture what's super popular versus something that no one has ever seen before. And I think that's always been interesting. A little bit pivoting, but one thing I always wondered, this is a small question, but what's the meaning behind like your name on like Instagram and stuff, like the Mi Coyote or however it says?
Oh, Mi Coyotito. At one point, one of my uncles, he was he kind of went back and forth between like jail and one time he went to jail, and then he ended up getting deported back to Mexico.
Wow.
And so he'd always kind of ask if I can bring down his kids to like TJ, and then they'd go down to like Guadalajara and
to visit.
I'd go back. Yeah. So I'd go back down to the, so it'd always be kind of like a back and forth thing with his kids. And my grandma always used to just kind of like make fun of me in that sense, where it was like, like mi coyotito, like, you know, just because coyotes are people who illegally pass other people through the border. And so she'd just kind of be like, oh, mi coyotito, because I'd bring down his kids to go see him and then I'd bring them back up.
Oh, okay. So that's like like a kind of slang term for when people are like bringing people over, like all low key.
Yeah.
That's funny. So she's basically just, it's like almost like a fancier word of like smuggling or some shit, huh?
Yeah, like a little smuggler.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
But they're illegal here, so.
It always looked cool. I was just wondering like where it even came from. What kind of jobs have you been working on recently? Because I know you do your own thing, but I know you also work a lot of commercial stuff in the industry. I've been wondering if you want to speak on some of the stuff you've been up to lately, and maybe that that job when you went to was it Kansas or somewhere over there?
Oh yeah, Kansas. Yeah. So for more of like my day job. And just kind of like the hustle and bustle would be like, or it would be working on commercials. So I've been working on commercials now for over a year. And it's going to be a full year at the end of this year. But yeah, so just kind of creating ads for, like, it'd be Apple, Samsung, Ford, Toyota, just any like major brand.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of the commercials that I get to work on. And recently, through a production company that I interned at called Some Such, they were helping out this director named Amar Marwaha, and the production company reached out to me and asked me if I would like to DP this Amar's documentary. And so it was one shoot here in LA about this MMA fighter named Chase Gibson, whose brother recently passed away. So he took on this fight that his brother was gonna take on, and so the fight was gonna be, the fight took place in Kansas. So we went out there for a few days and shot his weight cut, his weigh-in, the prep for the fight and post fight. And so currently that's in post, right now. I haven't seen any of the rushes yet. So I need to chat with Amar and kind of like go over that, but I'm sort of like gearing towards, being a cinematographer, within like just the industry. So prior to that, I've also worked on this more like fashion short film for this brand called Uko, or it's UKOO. Not too sure how to pronounce it, but we shot that on 16 millimeter film, and so that was like a really cool thing to do. And
that was a commercial.
We just kind of had, so it's more like commercial based.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of like I'm starting to get into more work that I really enjoy, and I'm enjoying like telling this story about this MMA fighter. And just like with small projects like that, it's really fun to get very creative with it and work alongside the director and sort of like put both ideas together to flush something that feels fresh.
Yeah, and it seems a lot more up your alley versus like, you know, you're doing these super cool like kind of story pieces, and then you're gonna do a commercial for like Apple Watch or something, you know. It seems very different from what you would like to do. But I know that we've all creatives, and I feel like we all have to get the money, you know, to help fund some of the other more interesting pursuits and everything. What have you been doing? You got anything planned for yourself or anything you're looking to be creating? I know it's a little different right now, but.
Yeah, so recently, a few months ago in September, I decided to go visit some family out in Jalisco. Mm-hmm. And prior to going, I had this very, like, it wasn't really an idea for a film, but I remember we're working on a Panera commercial, and my friend was directing it, and his name's Daniel, and my other friend Ron, and we were just kind of chatting about, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to Mexico, and Daniel kind of had a job that was shooting remotely in, like, Kiev, and another part in some part in Europe, and he's like, oh, maybe you can shoot some stuff in Mexico for the commercial. And so that was kind of like very up in the air, but Ron and I got to talking, and Ron's like, yo man, you should write a script, go out there and shoot it. I took the idea that I should just go shoot something. So while I was out there, I reached out to a couple of people in Mexico City that knew some people in Guadalajara, and I got a camera out there and went up to visit, like, some family members in, like, more of a urban town. I sort of started to think about what it is that I want to capture, and it was more of, like, this idea about how, like, death is very, like, prevalent in the town, and it's something that everyone's always talking about. It's something that it happens every day, and it, like, with it happening with animals, it just happens with, like, everyone kind of knows everybody in that town, so word gets out very quickly. But the way they deal with it, it's very, like, everyone kind of just sits down and talks about it, and it's something that is more, like, very normal. Mm-hmm. And so recently, my dad's brother recently passed over there, and which is one of the reasons why I wanted to go, was because my grandpa was very, he kind of took it very, very hard. And
yeah.
So I decided to go out there and just spend time with them, and through this, started capturing a lot of portraits of family members, more like new life within the animals. My aunt had a duck who recently had little ducklings, so kind of capturing that. And
yeah,
amongst that, there was a kind of like a slaughtering of a pig. So capturing that aspect of it. And so that's a project that I shot, and now we're going into post-production with it, but just because of me and the editor, my friend's schedule has been, we haven't really sat down and worked on it, but that's something that should be done, hopefully, like, maybe in the next couple of months. And then after that, I'll kind of think about what's next.
Is it
going
to be like a shorter, kind of little short film video, or like a photography type of thing?
No, it's more of a short film, more poetic. It's just going to be like these textural, like, clips, and just kind of a voiceover of my grandpa's conversation with my uncle.
I don't know how you have been, if this has affected you. I'm sure it has, especially with the commercial stuff. And I was wondering how has, like, COVID and everything kind of affected the work you're doing, the amount of work you're doing, and even, like, the workflow, you know, has it changed it up a lot?
I think, for one, being in quarantine for the amount of time that we were in quarantine, and kind of, like, still are in quarantine
too.
Yeah. it's been more like, I've had this more of desire and grit to just go out and make stuff. So I feel like, for me, it's been I can definitely see more projects coming in within the next few months or next year, as opposed to prior to the pandemic. It was more like just kind of like strolling, taking it easy, and not really like honing in on ideas. But now it's like this weird, like almost wake up call, or like this sort of change of mentality. Just, I don't know, it's been very, there's been a lot of epiphanies during the pandemic. So I definitely do feel that because of it, I'm a bit more like eager to go out and do stuff. So even like going out to Mexico and just going out there and shooting, that was something that was like as a result of the pandemic, right, in that sense. So yeah, kind of like, I feel like there's been a bit more work. I feel like the work in terms of commercials, it's been kind of like steady.
And how is that over there? I've been curious to hear about what are kind of the procedures and things nowadays when you're doing commercial stuff for COVID?
Yeah, so we get tested prior to the job starting. So let's say got a job coming up on the 1st. So we'd have to get tested either that morning, because they do like the 15-minute result stuff.
Oh, the fast one.
So we get tested. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'd get tested like right before the shoot. Then we'd like chill in our cars, and then we get the results, and if you're negative, you're good to go and just kind of work throughout the commercial. But throughout, we have to wear masks. There's a COVID safety team on set called, it's called like You, Me, and Sciences. Yeah, like all these like huge t-shirts. They're pretty cool. And they just walk around and they go around sanitizing any equipment with like a UV light, or
it's like
they
ask the wand
if you want it
or whatever.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy.
Yeah. And they just go around and just like UV, any cases, anything that somebody's always touching. They have hand washing stations, and then food's pretty much packaged by the catering service. So it's all very like very procedural stuff.
Okay. Instead of like having a big table with all the stuff, they kind of give you like Lunchables or what?
Yeah. They'll bag everything for you.
Yeah. Is it, has it changed? Does it seem like it slows down the process of the production a lot, or is it all pretty smooth with having like that team there and everything?
I think it's, I think it runs about the same. It definitely does slow down in the beginning, just because in the morning, once you start work, just because you have to check in and everything. But for the most part, it's, I feel like it's been the same since before the pandemic.
Yeah. I know you were saying it seems like you have been doing a little bit more and having a eagerness to do stuff during the pandemic. What helps you keep that drive and passion during these times? Like, has it been easier for you to get inspiration and ideas because you're having a lot more time to think? Or has it been kind of harder because you're a lot more confined in your environment?
I think I would try my best to get out of sort of like my confined environment,
right,
and go out and just go on like a small little hike, or just kind of walk around and do things outdoors. And that sort of like tends to sort of relief any like anxiety or any stress that's been like building up back home or just in the house. So definitely like getting out and then coming back, sort of able to sit down and think about any ideas, and even having like other people like other fellow filmmakers and just chatting with them and speaking to them about like other ideas that sort of like keeps things going. You normally, I like call it my friend Jonathan. He's also a filmmaker, and we went to the same film program like right after high school back in like 2015. So we, you know, we hop on the phone for like an hour, maybe like once a week, if not like once every 2 weeks. And we just sit and sort of talk about anything that's been brewing up and anything that we've been working on, and just sort of like catch up. And that's kind of how I've been like keeping a lot of ideas going, is just by talking about them with other people.
That's good. Yeah, it's good to have someone that you feel is understands the things that you're going for, and but will also, you know, that they're a good friend or coworker, and they're honest, and they won't just yes man you or anything like that. They'll actually check your ideas if they're bad,
right,
or things like that.
Yeah,
because the worst is when you're trying to get good like constructive feedback on things, and people just like are your friends, so no matter what, they're like, this is like the best thing ever, you know, or so good,
right,
I wouldn't change anything. But you know that if you were to show this to like a proper, for me, like a proper designer that's like higher level or anything, they would have a lot to say about it, you know, even if it's small things. So another thing that I wanted to get into is I've been curious to, because I don't know a lot about film and directors specifically. And sometimes like Sean, my friend Sean, and then Vince as well, will always tell me about these directors, and they're very much into films because they know it as if like, you know, how people know music, like, yeah, this guy directed this guy did this, and I barely even know like what the movie's called. So it's cool to learn about that stuff. And I was wondering, we can link some in the description and maybe give out some suggestions. Who would you say are maybe like your three or a few of your top like directors that you enjoy and also get like inspiration out of?
I feel like the first one would be Agnes Varda. She recently passed away, and she was a French filmmaker who did a lot of like, she did a lot of documentary. She has this collection called Agnes in California, and it's basically four documentaries, one called Murmurs, one called Documentar, and can't remember the name of the other two, but she basically comes out here and sort of like, it's more like for Documentar, is about this French woman who moves into an apartment complex in Venice with her son to explore. And the film explores like what life is, like why is there so much repetition? Like, what does love mean in this sort of town? Yeah. And so the documentary part of it is where she's capturing these like real life moments of people arguing or people at the laundry, just these moments of like repetition. And one of my other like favorite films from her is this film called Vagabond, and it basically just means like hitchhiker. And it's about this woman who's where the way it's told is this woman starts off dead in a ditch, and it kind of like works backwards to figure out how it is that she passed away. And so she's going around like interviewing anybody that has encountered her, and at the same time she's interviewing the police. So she's getting like these honest answers from the people, and then these answers from the police. And also we're also following her through like her real life and her real life in the film. And so eventually, once we get towards the end of the film, we figure out how she dies. And it's kind of like a really cool way of storytelling.
Yeah, that's cool. I like seeing what's the movie? Memento, I think it's called. Have you seen?
Oh yeah.
Like that's like the type. When I saw that, that shit was wild. Like I've never really seen like the storytelling like that. And if you like miss a couple things, like it's super confusing. You know, you have to follow that. It's
yeah.
Cool to see like different ways to do that, because everything, especially like Blockbuster, is so linear. You know, it's really easy to figure out. What was the, do you have any, a couple other directors you want to give a shout out to and kind of people can check out?
Yeah, so like, so the second director would be, Krzysztof Kieślowski, who's a Polish filmmaker. Recently, a couple nights ago, I watched, his from another series called Three Colors, Red, Blue, and White. And Red was one of them that I just kind of really liked the way he told this story of these two characters who are meant to be in a relationship, and there's this story of this judge and sort of like his past relationship, and we're sort of like seeing it through the other guy's kind of life. I just really like how like Krzysztof sort of like layers his stories together, and the way it's shot as well within the film. There's a lot of like kind of like a lot of these crane shots where you kind of see like where it starts off like really low and then it kind of like goes into their face. Mm. And then if they like look at something else, it will like move
and
really
like
quickly.
Before drones and stuff, huh?
Yeah, that was like, I think the film was from like the 60s.
I feel like every movie now has a drone shot, you know, because it's so easy. Like even like some high school kids, like YouTube video has drone shots and everything.
Yeah, and it's so easy now to get like to make a pretty good film as well with like with having the technology for it. Like it's so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I feel like, you know, you don't like one, I don't even think that like even now, like the iPhone 12 has like a mirrorless sensor on it, which is what an A7S3 would have.
I just got this like in the mail.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sweet. have you?
I haven't seen it. I'm gonna go to the T-Mobile after this, but it was on. I had to wait to get it. It took like, I ordered it like November 1st. So.
Oh shit.
Let's see. We'll go.
Are you excited for it?
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Because I have an iPhone 8 and it's kind of shitting on me.
Dude, I have the iPhone 8 as well.
Yeah, it's finally gotten to the point like where Apple's starting to fuck it up, you know? It's starting to get all weird.
Yeah. They have the crazy, that mirrorless sensor as well. Like, I feel like, you know, now you can just make a film like on your phone.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just the last question I wanted to ask you to keep everything on time is what is like some stuff, some tips or advice that you would give to any like younger filmmakers or photographers looking to kind of pursue this? Is there anything that you've learned or the route that you've taken that you think would be helpful in any advice?
I think a lot of the advice that I got when I was studying film, a lot of it was to look within yourself and like pull out those real stories and have it be as real as possible. And also like that it is possible to be a storyteller in like the film industry or just kind of like in the filmmaking community. Cause I feel like oftentimes it is sort of like it gets fogged up with this idea that oh, we need to have like $1 million budgets. But it's like, if you tell stories that are real and that, you know, I think the important aspect of it is to find a story that is compelling to you and one that it will be compelling to other people. If you find a story that is compelling to you, I feel like that story will be compelling to other people as well. Right. And if you tell it in a way where it's as real as possible, then that's one of the things that I feel will make one a stronger filmmaker. Definitely, like, they're like, I always try to look to like some of like the filmmakers' like first films. So for example, like David Lynch, his first like film called Eraserhead, it's just like this weird, like obscure film, like super like live, it's got like live animation to it. And he just kind of like goes in on it. And mm-hmm. So I feel like one of the advice to any aspiring filmmaker is to just figure out and just make stuff that is compelling and not really be afraid. I feel like the easiest way I could put it is I came across this guy in downtown, and I asked him like, yo, like, so what's your name? And he's like, oh, my name's Come Up. Like,
yeah,
just kind of looked at him like, what do you mean? He's like, well, isn't everybody on the Come Up? Like, isn't that what everybody is trying to do? Is like Come Up. And he sort of like got into explaining about how, like, if you go into this building, he's like, how do you know it's safe? Like, started talking about how like nothing is perfect. Even within like the city that we live in. And he sort of like was touching on how like things were perfect before things started to get built. So like the land itself was perfect as it was. So he's like, we live in this like imperfect society. So even if you make something, like, it's part of an imperfect society, so it won't always be perfect. So like to never really, you know, never really overthink about how perfect something will be, because it will always have its flaws. And, you know, like, one should just go for it. Just go for making
That's
stuff.
Good. I like That's that. Good. It's beautiful. It's funny, though, that you prefaced it by, all right, this is the easiest way to explain it, and then you start talking about this guy downtown, his name and everything. But he ended up, you brought it all back together. And at the end, I was like, oh, okay, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that that's good advice, and I feel the same way as to any aspiring designers. Don't be afraid to fail. It's better to fail than not try at all. I always think you learn the most from the failures rather than the successes. So definitely just try stuff and don't be afraid. And so I'm going to plug I want you to plug anything you want to plug, and I'm going to link all this, some of the stuff you referenced in the description. So is there anywhere you want people to check your stuff out at?
Yeah, you can check my stuff out on Instagram at Mi Coyotito. Okay. I put my stuff on Instagram. I have a website, but it's kind of like old photography, and I kind of want to like work on it a bit more. But I can also link my website as well.
Cool. I think that's Edson Reyes, right? Just EdsonReyes.com.
Yeah, it's just EdsonReyes.com.
Awesome. All right, man. Thank you. Really appreciate you coming on, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, man.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
All right. Peace out. All
right, peace.
Make sure if you enjoyed this, go ahead, like, comment, subscribe, and rate me on iTunes. I got my stuff all up on the audio now, Spotify, all that jazz, and we'll see you next time. Peace out.